Certainly good to see everyone tonight. Thank you for being here. We appreciate the presence. And if you happen to be visiting with us, we thank you very much for coming tonight and blessing us with your presence. William Lyon Phelps, for years, was called Yale's most inspiring professor. And he said this one time, "I believe a knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than a college course without a Bible." And so I think that Phelps was emphasizing the importance of knowing God's Word, that is very, very important, and that's valuable. And tonight I want to share with us what I'm calling seven powerful or valuable truths that I want us to know and to hold on to, and I hope it will be a source of strength for us. So I guess I got hooked on seven here today because we had 7 points this morning and now 7 points here for the evening lesson. But seven powerful truths. Number one, God is everywhere and aware of us. Proverbs 15 and verse 3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good." And then Psalm 93, 97, 91, each of these basically asserts the same thing, but 93 verse 1, "The Lord reigns." Josh led us in that song. That was the last line of "A Mighty God We Serve." The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed and girded himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Psalm 97, verse 1, "The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad." And then Psalm 99, "The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake." The Lord reigns. Not clothed so much with fancy robes and crowns and jewels, but he's clothed in majesty and strength. And because he is robed in strength, he is mighty. And what a mighty God we serve. We may face some strong and mighty things in this life, but we serve a God who rules on high. He rules over every area. And we know, as the psalm reminded us, that the world is firmly established, his throne is established, and his testimonies stand firm. No reign greater than God. No rule stronger than God. He is still ruling and reigning from mainland to island. God is everywhere and aware of us. God reigns, God rules, God is on the throne. And I think that is an important reminder for us today as we face some very challenging times. Things are happening all over this world, but there is one thing that I am absolutely certain about. God reigns. God is in control. That is a valuable, powerful truth that I think can sustain us throughout life. But number two, God's love is unparalleled. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting or eternal life." And Paul in Romans 5 and verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You remember Paul talking about it's something to die for a good person and so on. That says something. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love is unparalleled. And as we sometimes sing, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? Cast around wherever you want. Look in any history book, in any library of any culture, anywhere in the world, and look for an example of unlimited, unconditional love. And I'll guarantee you that you will come back every single time to the amazing love of God revealed at Calvary. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and my all. God's love is unparalleled. But number three, lost people can be saved. Matthew 1 and verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Peter declared in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So Jesus came in order to save us from our sins. That's what the Matthew 1 verse 21 passage was telling us, that you will bear a son, you'll call him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. And Peter proclaimed there that there is salvation in no one else. That is a powerful truth, that the lost can be saved, but it must be in accordance with God's plan of salvation. Now, we're also living in a culture that is spiritually inclusive, sometimes tolerant, sometimes pluralistic, but we do hold to a faith that has a certain exclusivity about it. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And by God's grace and God's power, I will continue to preach that as long as I have breath in my body. I am thankful that lost people can be saved, but we also must hold firm to God's plan that is laid out for us in His Word. But a fourth truth is that there is great power in faith. There is great power in faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter all about faith. And in verse 1, the author defines faith for us. He says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. So faith, this writer says, is the assurance, the firm assurance of things that we hope for. It is the strong conviction of things not seen. And then in verse 6, the writer tells us of the extreme importance of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So that is the importance of faith, that it is impossible, the writer says. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because the one who comes to God must first of all believe that he is, but also believe that he is the one who will reward those who diligently seek after him. And then if you go through the rest of Hebrews chapter 11, we might designate that as a demonstration of faith. And the overriding principle that I detect from the rest of Hebrews chapter 11 is that faith saves when faith obeys. It's interesting how at times the author will actually illustrate that definition of faith that he gave in verse 1 of chapter 11. That faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so what? Noah prepared an ark and things as not yet seen. But he, by faith, he did that. But you see that throughout the chapter. By faith, Noah did something. By faith, Moses did something. By faith, Abraham did what God called upon them to do. And so I think that's what you see in the rest of Hebrews chapter 11. And so we avail ourselves of the power of the gospel through faith. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. And as a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do. There is indeed great power in faith. Now, a couple of my points tonight will be similar to some of the points that I made this morning. But number 5, peace is granted to those who have faith. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The pursuit of peace is a universal human obsession. Whether it is international, industrial, domestic, or personal peace. Yet more fundamental than all these is the peace which comes as a result of our being justified by faith. So peace is granted to those who have faith. Now, that peace is certainly a special gift. It does not always mean that there will not always be some difficulties involved in that, but there still can be that peace within one's heart that Paul says that we're justified by that faith, and as a consequence, we have the peace of God. But number 6, there is life beyond death. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. That promise of life beyond death rests upon these powerful words of Jesus that I just read. But we also have a living hope because we indeed serve a living and risen Savior. This is a passage from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. There is life beyond death. And then, number 7, God has prepared a place for us. John chapter 14 are some very assuring words that Jesus gives to his disciples, and they certainly have continued to be assuring words for us living today. Because I can only imagine John chapter 14 when Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Jesus had just talked about that Judas would betray him, that Peter would deny him. And so I could imagine that some of the disciples did have a troubled heart hearing those words, you know, from Jesus. And so he begins John chapter 14 by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Those are some really powerful words, and that is indeed a powerful truth that we need to hold on to. And I've mentioned to you before that I still think that those 10 monosyllable words here in this text are some of the most powerful monosyllable words in the entire Bible. When he said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." If there were anything that you needed to be concerned about, I would have told you. And so we can just hold on to that we do have a place prepared for us. That is a powerful truth by which we, you know, can live and look forward to. And that's something that I think we all look forward to. We want to live as long as we can. We want to be of service to God as long as we can. But we know that death will not be the end, that there is life beyond death, and that there is this place that God has prepared for us. Now, you could probably come up with your own list of some powerful truths from God's Word. Not that this is an exhaustive list by any means, but I think these are seven that I think are meaningful and hopefully can be helpful to us. God is everywhere and aware of us. He watches over the evil and He watches over the good. Our Lord reigns. And so I've shared with you before, I think that's what I've suggested we need to pray for rain. And I'm talking about R-E-I-G-N. Pray for rain. Pray that God will reign in your heart and in your life. Who occupies the throne of your life? Pray that God is occupying the throne of your life. God's love is unparalleled. Again, how do you describe? How do you explain the love that God showed us by sending His one and only Son? I'm thankful that lost people can be saved, that we have a message to share with those who are lost, and I pray that we'll go out there and share that message and let those people know that they can be saved, and that there is great power in faith. And I want to encourage all of us to step out in faith as Peter did as he stepped out of that boat on that occasion. And I think he showed some courage. He showed, you know, some faith. And that's what we've got to do sometimes. We've got to have that kind of faith. Sometimes that means kind of stepping out of our comfort zones, but having the faith. As John Ortberg's book suggests, if you're going to walk on the water, you've got to step out of the boat. If we're going to go out there and make a difference, there are times when we've got to step out and realize that there is great power in faith. But then peace comes to those who have faith. that we're justified by faith, and as a result, we have peace with God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is life beyond death, and God has prepared a place for us. I am thankful for these powerful truths that we read about in God's Word. His Word is truth. As we've suggested a number of times, we certainly need to speak up, speak the truth, stand up for the truth, to defend the truth. A number of areas that we need to be involved in as far as the truth is concerned. But as Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. And so if anyone needs to respond to God's truth tonight, through obedience to the gospel of Christ, through faith, repentance, baptism, or if you need to come and have us pray with you about something that has maybe gone awry in your life, we're here to help you, to encourage you in any way that we possibly can. So let's stand together and sing our song of encouragement at this time.